In the land of Israel, at the time that these words of verses 1 to 4 speak about, all was bleak and all was dreary. A great battle had taken place at Gilboa, a battle that brought about the defeat of Israel, the death of the king and the sons of Saul. And consequently, Israel was left without a king. They were left without somebody to lead them and to direct them. It was a time of defeat, a time when the people of God needed to be given direction, a time when they needed to be shown the way that they ought to go. How different things were in Ziklag. It is true that when David first took his men to the land of the Philistines, he did so without divine guidance and divine approval. He had run from his troubles to find there in the land of the Philistines even greater troubles. He had run from his problems, thinking he would find an easier place to dwell, and yet the reality was his problems increased. And the troubles multiplied. And he soon discovered that when you leave God out of your life, the apparent peace becomes most painful. There is a tremendous lesson in that. For many of us, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our church home, as it were, as soon as problems come, as soon as difficulties come, we, as it were, pack our bags and off we run without taking time to ask the Lord, to seek His direction upon the matter, to know what His will is in our life. And we find that the problems we have left and the troubles that we have deserted, they're nothing in comparison to the problems we now face. And the troubles that now overwhelm us when we have left God out of the equation. David had gone through this experience. This had been his case. He had run from trouble for tranquility to find even greater trouble. But at the time that is before us in 2 Samuel chapter 2, although still in Ziklag, things were different. David had realized the error of his ways. He had realized that in running from God, he was wrong. He had realized that in leaving God out of his life and not seeking direction from the Lord, he had faced bigger problems. And now he has set his heart to seek after the Lord his God. He was not going to make the same mistake again. He was not going to make his own decisions anymore, but he was going to look for divine direction for his life. He had realized the importance of knowing God's will about a matter before he set his life in motion. And you'll notice verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord. The expression after this relates to the events of the previous chapter. It was after David was informed of King Saul's death. It was after David had executed the Amalekite. It was after David had lamented the death of Saul and Jonathan. It was after David came to the realization that God had chastised his life and he had to renew fellowship with the Lord. It was after this that he inquired of the Lord. He sought the will of God for his life. David, knowing that Saul was dead, knowing that he had been chosen of God to be the next king, he quickly realized that Ziklag was not the place for him to dwell. David therefore sought God's will about where he should dwell, about where he should move. He was not hasty to run back to the land of Israel. He didn't just tell the men to pack their bags, to saddle their beasts and make their way back. No, before he did anything, he was going to seek the face of his God. Before he put one foot in front of another to go back to Israel, he was going to pray and seek the Lord's guidance and know in his heart God's will. That is why this passage is a passage that concerns the will of God. And it is a passage, I believe, that is applicable to each and every one of us, because we all have decisions to make in life. We have decisions to make in our own personal lives, sometimes about where we will live, sometimes about what we are going to do. I can think of younger people today, and they have a career, a life ahead of them. What would God have you to do? That ought to be the question. What does God want from your life? What does He want you to do with your life? Where does He want you to serve Him? They're the questions that need answered. And you cannot answer those questions without knowing the will of God. In your homes, in your families, in your lives, in the Church of Christ, we need to know the will of God. Now, there are just three simple things I want to leave with you today. First of all, I want you to notice from these words, looking for the will of God. Looking for the will of God. You'll notice verse 1, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And David, in those words, we are told, he is looking to God for direction. He is looking to the Lord to see which way he should go. He is looking to the Lord to see what the next step in his life ought to be. Burning question. David's heart is, what wilt thou have me to do? He did not tell God what he was going to do. And he did not ask God to rubber stamp the things that he had set forth that he was going to do. With an open mind, he came before God and he asked God. He looked to the Lord to see the way that he should go. Friend, we should never tell God what we're going to do. Many years ago, well, I suppose he still is. He is my cousin. He's 3 months older than me, and I know some of you think I still look 21. And there's a few people I've known for maybe 30-odd years, and they still think I'm 21 because I never seem to age. At least that's what I think when I look in the mirror anyway. But I never seem to age. But I have a cousin. He's 3 months older than me. And he decided that if he failed his A-level examinations, that he would go and be a missionary. And he told God, if I don't get my exams, I'm going to be a missionary. Friend, that's not the way you come to the Lord looking for direction. His life is in ruin. His first marriage failed. He's gone from one job to the other. Whereas before he used to be a lay preacher, now he doesn't even go to the house of God. He went the wrong way. He told God what he was going to do, and he did nothing. He did nothing. You never tell God what you're going to do. You look to God to tell you what you are going to do. And so he was looking to the Lord. There is wisdom in seeking the will of God. David sought the Lord for guidance. There is no wiser thing for a man to do than to seek God's will. To seek the all-wise God, the God who knows the beginning from the end as to what he should do with his life. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 17 said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, it is a wise thing to know what the will of God is for our life. And that implies that it's a foolish thing not to know what God's will for our life is. If it is something of absolute wisdom that we know what God's will for our life is, then it is something of utter folly not to know that. And I ask the question today, do you know God's will for your life?
It doesn't matter whether you're a young believer or whether you're somebody older. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Because that is the most important thing. If you take time when you go home to read 1 Samuel and compare 1 Samuel chapter 28 with 2 Samuel chapter 2, you will see the importance of seeking the will of God. And you will see the folly of not seeking guidance from the Lord. Because King Saul, in his human carnal wisdom, he sought a witch. And he wanted to know what his life was ahead of him by going to some concocted fortune teller. His life ended in misery. David sought the Lord and he was anointed as king. He prospered. Saul was the fool. He didn't seek God's will. David was the wise man. He sought the will of God, and God anointed him to be the next king. And as we read on in verse 4, when he went to where God told him to go, he was anointed king of Judah. Not king of all Israel at that time. That followed later. But God prospered him because he lived in the will of God. There are many people today, and they boast of wisdom. But if you do not know the will of God, you're actually unwise. You can have all the diplomas and doctorates that the world can offer. You can have the highest standard of education that this world can give. But if you don't know the will of God, you're a fool. You can have everything that you think you need in this world to get you through. But if you do not know God's will for your life, then God says you're a fool, you're unwise. You need to know what God's will is. You need to look for it. You'll notice the waiting in the seeking the will of God. He asked in verse 1, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" Ziklag did not seem like the place where David should reign as king. Rationalization of the situation led David to consider that. After all, Ziklag had been ransacked. It had been burned with fire. It wasn't a very pleasant place to live in. There was nothing there. Surely the next king of Israel could not dwell in Ziklag. He had to have somewhere else. But yet David still didn't move till he found the will of God. Oh, there are times when providence gives to us a pointer as to whether we should be doing something or not doing it, whether we should be going somewhere or not going somewhere. But yet we still do not move because of the pointer of providence. We need to seek the will of God. We need to know what it is that the Lord wants us to do at any given time. David waited. He didn't run ahead of himself. He waited and he prayed. He inquired of the Lord as to whether or not he should go up to the land of Israel at that time. He waited. Oh, there is patience here. There is patience here. You know, if our place where we're dwelling spiritually is a desolate place, a place of difficulty, a place of hardship, there is always, isn't there? There's always that temptation to find a better life, to find an easier way. And we have to be careful that we do not just leave where we are on a whim, but because we want to better ourselves. We need to know God's will. And that's why David prayed. That's why he inquired of the Lord. He needed to know the will of God. Many a person has made shipwreck of their life. I have heard people, and they have told me that they have left Northern Ireland over the years because of the troubles. I have met people in England when I ministered over there, and they left the shores of Ulster. They left a place where they could dwell, where there was gospel preaching, and they lifted their family, young children, and they went over to the British mainland, and they found there was not a decent church within 60, 70 miles. And you know what? Now they bemoan the fact that they left. because their children have been brought up in the world and have no time for God and no time for Christ and no time for God's house. All because they left a place where they thought there was trouble and they never sought God. And that's something of the reason why we need to know God's will. When we live, especially if we have young families, the decisions we make, they have a knock-on effect. And we really need to know the will of God for our life, especially if we're parents. Because if we step out of God's will, it can have devastating effects upon our family. We have not only looking for the will of God, we have here learning the will of God. How do we learn what God's will is for our life? How does God reveal His will to us? These are questions that we often ask or are asked. In verse 1 we read, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up." Go up. How do we learn the will of God? Well, we've touched on one already. The first thing is prayer. That's the first thing. You will never ever know the will of God for your life if you do not seek the will of God if in prayer from the Lord. If you never come before God and ask Him what you're going to do with your life, you will never find that out. And so the first thing to know God's will for your life is to seek the Lord in prayer, to come before Him and to inquire of Him and to ask Him. Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6 simply says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what? He shall direct thy paths." You don't lean to your own wisdom. You don't lean to your own understanding. You look to the Lord. You seek Him in prayer, and He will direct your paths. Have you ever sought the Lord? Have you ever come before God and asked God, "What wilt thou have me to do with my life?" Or are you just following a path? Are you just following a set path that you think is good for you? Remember when I was a young man studying A-levels, there was one thing I wanted to do. I always had a fascination with geology. I still do. Oh, despite the millions of years, which is a load of nonsense, and having studied A-level geology, could I tell you that one of the reasons that they put down for the extinction of the dinosaurs, right down at the bottom, is Noah's flood. And if you can reason that and argue the point, then they cannot disagree with you because nobody knows. With all their theories, nobody really knows. But I had a love for geology. And I realized that one good, well-paid job was to be a geologist on an oil rig. And I set my heart to be a geologist on an oil rig. But that's not what God wanted for my life. And one day I was praying and seeking the Lord, and the Lord showed me, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And I knew God was speaking to me about following Him, about going in to Bible college, and going in to do something for Him. And I had to leave it all behind. It was a struggle for a while. And I had to leave it all behind. And I had to follow God's will for my life. I was only a young teenager. Maybe you're a young teenager here. You have your life mapped out. I remember speaking to one teenager and they told me they were going to do their A-levels. Then they were going to go to university. Then they were going to go to Bible college. Then they were going to get married. Then they were going to have a family. Then they were going to bring them up. All mapped out. But where does God fit in? Where does God fit in? Where does God's will fit into your life? Have you ever sought God's will for your life? There's prayer. There's a precept. The Lord said unto him, "Go up." Later on, the Lord tells him to go to Hebron. And when David inquired of the Lord, how did the Lord answer him? The Lord answered him by His word. He spoke to him. How do you know God's will for your life? Well, you pray, yes, and then you have the precept of God's word. This book here is our rule of faith and practice. This book here directs us in the way that we ought to go. This book here shows us as God's people and as those who are not God's people the will of God for our life. God speaks today through His Word. Do you know how I came to be in Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church? It wasn't just that the congregation called me. God spoke to me about it. I was quite happy on the British mainland. I was quite happy. I'd been in Wales and had been in Bridlington, and I was quite happy to remain there. But God spoke to me. The night that the call came, I went before the Lord in prayer. And the very next morning, the Lord spoke to me, and the words of Scripture was this: "This thing is of me. This thing is of me." I knew that it was in the will of God. I never went to Wales without knowing God's will. I had opportunity of speaking in this church and telling you how it was that I felt that I should go to Wales. When I moved from Wales to Bridlington, it was in the will of God. How? God showed me through His Word. And God does speak to us, and God does show us His way. And we need to be prepared to seek the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and let Him, through His Word, direct our paths. Of course, as well as that, there was progress. For the will of God was revealed to David step by step. The Lord, first of all, told him to go up to Israel, and later on, He told him to go to Hebron. God doesn't reveal His will always at once. If God told you everything that was going to happen to you in life all at one time, mind you, would run like Jonah. You would run a mile. There are difficulties to face in following God. There are trials and troubles and struggles to endure when you're fulfilling God's will in your life. It's not, well, it is a bed of roses, but remember, there's more thorns than blooms. Any bed of roses I've ever fell in, I found there was more thorns than there was flowers. I was picking them out of my hands and legs for weeks afterwards. And life has its difficulties. Even in the center of God's will, there is difficulties. But isn't it good to know that God has you there for a purpose? And there was progress, little by little. There was persistency because he kept on praying. And God sometimes does not reveal His will without persistent praying. Don't think you'll go to prayer today and you'll know God's will this afternoon. Sometimes you have to be persistent. But then could I say there is the living out of God's will? You see, we look for and we learn God's will for a purpose. Not to educate ourselves, but that we might live out God's will in our life. That's why we need God's will. Now, God's will has two aspects to it. It's general and it's particular. The general was go up to Israel. The particular was Hebron. And God's will has a general and a particular application. There is a general application to God's will in the Word of God. As God's people, it is God's will that we serve Him. It is God's will that we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are His disciples, that we go about living a life glorifying unto God. That is the general aspect of the will of God. If you're a Christian today, if your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Word of God tells us what God's will is, and that is that you live for Christ, that you have a testimony for Christ, that throughout your life, you are submissive to Him and to His Word, and that you serve Him from the moment you get up of a morning to the moment you go to bed. Even when you're doing the various things of your life, you're serving the Lord wholeheartedly. That's what God's will is for you as a Christian. But there's the particular will of God. And that is not the general aspect of what we all should be doing, but what you yourself ought to be doing. Maybe God wants you to be a missionary. Maybe the Lord has it that you're to teach in the Christian school. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a minister. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a door-to-door evangelist. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a Sunday school teacher or to drive one of the buses our brother was speaking about. Do you know God's will for your life? There are particular tasks that God calls certain people to do, and He calls them when He reveals His will to them. Have you sought God's will for your life? Let me say that if we speak about this generally, what is God's will for the believer? Well, it's there in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's God's will for your life, dear Christian. A living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? It's you giving your life entirely to God. It's you saying, here I am, Lord, take me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, no matter what the cost is. Even if it's my life. It's to lose your life and to live it for Christ. That's God's will for your life as a believer. To lose your life and to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What about those that are cold and backslidden? God's will for your life is set forth in Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. God's will for the backslider is that you recognize that you're backslidden, and that you return unto the Lord, and that you repent and walk again with him. That's God's will. Dear backslider today, that's God's will for your life. That you come back to the Lord and that you put your hand back in the hand of Christ. What about those who are not saved? Does God have a will for them? Yes. John chapter 6, verse 28 says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is the ungodly speaking. They're asking the Lord Jesus Christ, what shall we do? What is it that you want us to do? What is it that we ought to be doing? Isn't that ascertaining God's will? Now, the Lord answers them in verse 29. He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. If you're not saved today, God's will is that you believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent. See, God has a will for us all. And the question is this in closing. Are you fulfilling God's will? Are you fulfilling? As a Christian, are you living your life for him? As a backslider, will you come back and live for him and walk with him? As somebody who's not saved, will you come and put your faith and trust in him? Will you fulfill God's will in your life? I trust that you would. For his name's sake, amen.